please open to Jeremiah chapter 27. We just got the first few verses of this in last time at the very end of our session. This is the situation. It's very early in the reign of Zedekiah. I think that we're probably talking about the fourth year. And God gives Jeremiah an object lesson to carry out. In much the same way, he gave an object lesson to Ezekiel to carry out up in his area of responsibility, up in Babylon. So here's Jeremiah down in Jerusalem being told to do this. Jeremiah 27, verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from He Who Is. Thus He Who Is said to me, make yourself straps and yoke bars and put them on your neck. Now this is what you would place upon animals in order for them to pull equipment like carts and plows. So you have this yoke that fits over their neck in connection with their shoulders, and then it's strapped in place. So God told Jeremiah, make yourself a yoke bar that fits on your neck and shoulders with some straps that will secure it to you. And once you get dressed up in that, do this. Verse 3. Send word to the king of Edom. That's southeast of Judah. The king of Moab. That's due east, just across the Dead Sea. The king of the sons of Ammon. That's a little bit to the north and east of Moab. The king of Tyre and the king of Sidon. Those are the Phoenician cities up on the coast, far to the northwest of Judah. Send these by the hand of the envoys who have come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. So apparently there's some sort of conference going on where representatives of those different kingdoms have gathered to Jerusalem to have conversations with Zedekiah. Now, what are they having conversations about? They are probably talking about rebelling against the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar to quit paying tribute money to the Babylonian Empire and put up a united front against this empire. And that's not what God wants. So God says, you need to send this message back with those guys. Verse 4, give them this charge for their masters. Thus says He Who Is of the hosts, the God of Israel. This is what you shall say to your masters. It is I who by my great power and my outstretched arm have made the earth with the men and animals that are on the earth, and I give it to whomever it seems right to me. So God's first message is, I'm the one that made everything. I'm the real God. And since I made it, it's mine. And I get to decide whom I'm going to put in charge of various sections of this world. Continuing, verse 6. Now, I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And I have given him also the beasts of the field to serve him. All the nations shall serve him, his son and his grandson, until the time of his own land comes. Now, this is another one of those little prophecies jammed in here to show that the time of the Babylonian Empire is limited. Nebuchadnezzar will be followed by his son, who will be followed by another son, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson of some sort, and then the Babylonian Empire is going to come to an end. 70 years, three generations by what we're seeing here. and then the empire will be over. It'll be overrun by the Medes and the Persians. But until then, God says, Nebuchadnezzar is my master of the world, and I expect you to submit to him. Last line of that verse, then many nations and great kings shall make him their slave. So he'll end up becoming a slave later, not Nebuchadnezzar personally, but his king descendants will end up being overrun by others. Verse 8, but if any nation or kingdom will not serve this Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon and put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, declares he who is, until I've consumed it by his hand. So God is giving them a choice, free will choice. But it's a limited free will choice. You can either voluntarily pay tribute to the Babylonian Empire until it is no more, or you can pay tribute by force to that same Babylonian Empire until it is no more. And you will lose a lot if it's the second choice. Verse 9. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your fortune tellers, or your sorcerers who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. See, that's even happening in Judah. It was one of the things that God, through Jeremiah, was complaining about earlier, that they are saying, thus says he who is, you shall not have to serve the king of Babylon. When in fact, the true story is, they must. Verse 10, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you, with the result that you will be removed far from your land, and I will drive you out, and you will perish. So that's what's going to happen. A lot of people will die, and there will be large segments of the population exiled, moved to another part of the empire. But, verse 11, any nation that will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will leave on its own land to work it and dwell there, declares he who is. So if they'll just voluntarily pay tribute and serve Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian administrations that follow him, they won't be relocated. They'll be able to stay on their ancestral lands. Verse 12, to Zedekiah, king of Judah, I spoke in like manner. Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Now keep in mind, Jeremiah, when he goes in to speak to King Zedekiah, he's wearing this yoke that God told him to design for himself and to wear. So he's effectively saying, look, you see this yoke that I voluntarily put on at the command of the Lord? You need to also put on the yoke the Lord has commanded, the yoke of service to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 13, why will you and your people die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, as he who is has spoken concerning any nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? So this will be your own fault if people end up being killed in battle, dying of famine because of sieges, and dying because of diseases brought on by those sieges. It'll be on your head that all that stuff happens, because it doesn't have to happen that way. Verse 14, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you. I have not sent them, declares he who is, but they are prophesying falsely in my name, with the result that I will drive you out and you will perish, you and the prophets who are prophesying to you. So they're only doing you harm by trying to tell you what you want to hear. And I can't help it, folks. I have to bring this into our modern day New Testament era. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, preachers are told to preach the word. They're supposed to do it when it's convenient, when it's not convenient, they're to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all diligence. Because there will be people out there that will tell people what they want to hear. They will give their itching ears a good scratch. And we who are preaching the word can't do that. We have to preach the whole counsel, which includes the bad news first. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all need to repent. And repentance means changing the way you think, bringing into alignment with God's way of thinking, that is, into His Word. And that will change the way you act. And people don't like that. People don't like to hear that. So we got plenty of people claiming to be preachers out there that only talk about the happy, sweet, saccharine things. And they do all sorts of data mining to find out what is it that people want from their church. What is it that people want to hear from their preachers? And then they give it to them. And it is so, so wrong. And if you happen to be caught up in a church that's like that, you need to run out of that church as fast as your little feet can carry you and get to a church that preaches God's Word. Whether you like what you hear or not, if it is the Word of God, if it is in alignment with proper hermeneutical approaches, that is, proper understanding of God's Word, that's what you need to be hearing. All right, back to the text, verse 16. Then I spoke to the priests and to all this people, saying, "Thus says he who is, do not listen to the words of your prophets who are prophesying to you, saying, 'Behold, the vessels of he who is his house will now shortly be brought back from Babylon, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you.' Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city become a desolation?" So you may remember when Daniel and his friends and others became part of the first Babylonian exile out of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the brand new king of Babylon, took a bunch of God's tableware, a bunch of the vessels out of the temple. And he placed them in the house of his God. And then when the next group of Babylonian exiles left Judah in accompaniment with Jeconiah, Jehoiakim, the 8-year-old child king, more of God's tableware was taken out of the temple. And so a lot of these guys are going, "We want that stuff back. We want God's dinnerware back here. We want God's templeware back here." And the prophets are saying, "You got it. That's what's going to happen. It will be back here very soon. That's what God's telling me." And of course, that's not the case. It will not be until the exile is completely finished, 70-year period, that God will arrange for his tableware to be brought back. Zerubbabel will be bringing it back, by the way. So, this is what God says. Verse 17, "Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city become a desolation?" See, that's on you. If you rebel, right to the end, this place is going to get trashed. Verse 18, "If they are prophets, and if the word of he who is with them, then let them intercede with he who is of the hosts, that the vessels that are left in the house of he who is in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem may not go to Babylon." See, if they're really prophets, what they should be praying about is getting everybody to repent so what's left at the temple gets to stay in the temple, because if you repent, the temple won't get destroyed. But of course, they're not going to repent. God knows that, and God knows that the temple will be destroyed. Verse 19, "For thus says he who is of the host concerning the pillars," that's Jachin and Boaz, the two bronze pillars in front of the shrine building there underneath that great big tall 180-foot tower at the front of the temple. The sea, that's the great big water tank that was sitting on the backs of 12 bulls, but those bulls are now gone because they were cut up and used as tribute money to the Assyrians several generations back by a king. The stands, that's all the bronze water tanks that are around the temple for cleaning of the sacrifices and ceremonial cleaning for the priests. And the rest of the vessels that are left in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, did not take away when he took into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Thus says he who is of the hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that are left in the house of he who is in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem. So you should be repenting and praying so that they get to stay. But that's not what's going to happen. Verse 22, they shall be carried to Babylon and remain there until the day when I visit them, declares he who is. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. So God already knows they're going to reject this offer, and the judgment's going to come. And what remains as special items at the temple will go away into exile with the people. Chapter 28. In that same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fifth month of the fourth year, so that pins it right down to the fifth month, which is basically August that we're talking about here, of 594. So a little bit after Ezekiel up at Babylon has started his almost year and 2 month object lesson. This is what happens in Jerusalem. Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of he who is in the presence of the priests and all the people. So there's this confrontation that now happens. It's clear that Jeremiah is no longer barred from coming to the Temple Mount at this point. And so on one of the times that he's up there, somebody gets in his face because Jeremiah is still wearing this yoke around his neck, secured in place with straps, because that's the object lesson that God wants Jeremiah to carry out right now. So this guy, Hananiah, gets right in his face and he says this, verse 2, thus says he who is of the host, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of he who is his house, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares he who is, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. So this guy is very specific in his prophecy. He says, within the next 2 years, all of those objects from the temple will be back. And the child king will be back. And the exiles will all be back. Because God is breaking the yoke of Babylon off of Judah. Now, of course, all you have to do is wait for 2 years to see whether or not this guy is a true prophet. Because according to the definition of a true prophet, Deuteronomy chapter 13, everything he says has to come to pass exactly as he said. And we know for a fact, none of these things happened. So this guy is a false prophet beyond any shadow of a doubt. Verse 5, then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of he who is. And Jeremiah, the prophet, said, Amen. May he who is do so. May he who is make the words that you've prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of he who is and all the exiles. Now, I've tried to make my voice drip with sarcasm because I have a feeling that's exactly how Jeremiah did it. Because he already knows the true prophecy is it ain't gonna happen. And so this guy is a false prophet. Verse 7. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the prophet, that he who is has truly sent the prophet. So Jeremiah says, tons of prophets have prophesied about negative things. Famine, disaster, war. But a prophet who prophesies peace, if peace doesn't come, we know that that guy is not a true prophet. And if peace does come, because peace, to be quite honest, is kind of the unusual state of affairs in this fallen world. If a prophet prophesies peace and it comes exactly on the schedule he said, that's a true prophet. Verse number 10. Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah the prophet and broke them. So this guy actually reaches up. I don't know if he had like a knife or somehow maybe just unbuckled or unstrapped this yoke, but he actually takes the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and then he breaks it. He breaks these yoke bars. He either has a mallet or maybe he's got an axe, but somehow he breaks it. Then verse 11, Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people saying, thus says he who is, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within 2 years. Wow, he doubles down. He not only says he's going to do this for Judah, he's going to do it for all of the nations of the lower Middle East. You know, all those people that were just recently at the conference, they were there probably talking about the Babylonian problem and about whether or not they could all stand up against Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian forces. And so he says, everybody is going to be free of Babylon within 2 years. And so, what does Jeremiah do? It says Jeremiah the prophet just went his way. So he just walks away without his neck yoke on anymore because it was taken off of him by the false prophet. Verse 12. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke bars from off the neck of Jeremiah the prophet, the word of he who is came to Jeremiah. Go tell Hananiah, thus says he who is, you have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. For thus says he who is of the hosts, the God of Israel, I will put upon the neck of all these nations an iron yoke to serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him, for I have given to him even the beasts of the field. So God says, all right, tough guy, Jeremiah, go and give him this message. Yeah, you broke up a wooden yoke and made your little false prophecy. Guess what? I am the God who has decided that Nebuchadnezzar is going to be my servant. And these nations that are under my judgment will be under an iron bar that cannot be broken by people like you. And they will serve him whether they like it or not. Verse 15, Jeremiah the prophet said to the prophet Hananiah, listen, Hananiah, he who is has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says he who is, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have uttered rebellion against he who is. And so he is given a prophecy from God through Jeremiah that he will be executed for his false witness about God. And that is actually what is the prescribed judgment in Deuteronomy 13. A false prophet must die under Israeli law. If you, as an Israeli, bear false testimony about God, you are executed. So God is the one that decides to execute him. Verse 17 tells us that in that same year, in the seventh month, so we're only talking about a few months later, the prophet Hananiah died. So he didn't even make it to the end of the 2 years that he had prophesied, because he had prophesied a lie.